Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times 8. I don't know. A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's plate this dish on a Thursday, December 15th, and a Friday, December 16th, another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's going on, everybody? Matt Derry with you. It is going to be a huge game on Sunday. Rain in the forecast, although it's supposed to be warm and in the 40s and 50s, possibly, at the Meadowlands Sunday as the Lions will take on the Giants, a couple of 9-4 teams. Coming up on Locked On Lions later on in the podcast, we will talk to WABC-TV sports anchor Monday through Friday. A Detroiter, Ryan Field, will join us to preview Lions and Giants and give us that New York side of things, as Ryan now has been in that market for a few weeks. Our boy Ryan Field, of course, you remember him from Fox Sports Detroit, moved on to L.A. to work at Fox Sports 1, now at WABC in New York. If you're listening to this Locked On Lions podcast for the first time, welcome. Thank you. If you're joining us via audioboom.com or on iTunes, thank you very much. You can check out our work as well at fanragsports.com. A lot to discuss, certainly, as the Lions are getting ready to face the Giants on Sunday. A couple of 9-4 teams. Lions still have that two-game lead in the division at 9-4 with 3 games to go. But this is the meat of the order here. This is 3-4-5 in the order. Tough outs with the Giants in New York Sunday.
Only in New York.
In Dallas for Monday Night Football the day after Christmas, and then at home to the Packers to round out the season. I was listening earlier today to Valeni and Rieger, and Valeni and Foster on the Ticket, and they were discussing an article at CBSSports.com. So I checked it out. We're going to get to that momentarily because there's a national writer that thinks the Leos are in big trouble and won't make the playoffs. As far as the injuries go, today Matthew Stafford, according to the reporters that were on the scene there in Allen Park, Matthew Stafford did not have a great day throwing the football with that glove on his right hand. His passes were apparently a little bit off target, and he didn't have a good day throwing. Now, yesterday he seemed fine. Today, apparently, according to the, you know, the eyewitnesses there, he didn't have a good day. Zach Zenner's out of the non-contact jersey, which is good. They're going to need to run the football with Dwayne Washington if Theo Riddick is healthy, and with Zach Zenner to win the game, regardless if Stafford can throw the ball. But obviously, he's the Lions' main weapon. And the more I read, and the more I study, and the more I think about it, I'm definitely concerned for Sunday. The Lions are playing very good football right now. They've won 5 in a row and 8 of 9. But, you knew there would be a but they've lost their only 2 road games outdoors. They fell behind in Chicago and couldn't hang with the Bears. They fell behind in Green Bay, hung with the Packers, but fell short. And look, this is the best team they've played on the road outdoors in the Giants. And New York's not great either, all right? I'm not in love with the Giants by any means. Eli Manning is a struggle bus right now. OBJ is the bomb. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. is fantastic. They don't have much of a run game, and their offensive line blows. And when we talk to Ryan Field, I'll ask him about it. But I think while Theo Riddick, and I mentioned this yesterday on the podcast, if you missed it, tune it in. I said Theo Riddick is the most important player, not named Matthew Stafford, for the Lions Sunday, because if Stafford is going to need to check down, throw the ball shorter, not take as many chances down the field. It's got to be to Theo Riddick, because yards after the catch and the moves that he makes, he's so valuable to this offense. And for the second straight day today, he missed practice with that injured wrist. He did not practice or play last week. And boy, I'm hopeful he can get back out and practice tomorrow and play Sunday. They need a healthy Theo Riddick against a Giants team that's very good up front and very good on the back end with DRC and Janoris Jenkins and certainly Landon Collins, the safety. They're good back there. The linebackers can be had, especially in pass coverage. That's why Theo Riddick is so important, very important to this Lions game and if this Lions team can get this win. But on the other side, Eric Flowers, the left tackle for the New York Giants, he's a turnstile. He's terrible. And so if Ziggy Ansah, Kerry Hyder, and that crew, Devin Taylor, can get to Eli Manning, especially from the blind side, boy, oh boy, the Giants are susceptible for sure. When they've seen pressure this year, Eli's done. Did anybody watch the game the other night? Dallas is only sending like three or four guys at him, getting to him, and he's just happy feet and quick releases. So if we're worried, as Lions fans about Odell Beckham, you know, getting free deep behind Darius Slay, and Terrell Austin had an interesting comment today, the defensive coordinator. He said he doesn't think Darius Slay is just going to cover OBJ no matter what. But it was interesting to hear that. But, if you're worried about him getting deep, Eli's terrified right now to stand in the pocket longer than a couple of seconds. So the Lions have got to take advantage of that and get to Eli and just bulldoze and get around Eric Flowers, their second-year left tackle, who's a first-round draft pick, by the way, but he has just been a bust and has really struggled. And we'll ask Ryan Field about that coming up. Lions did make a roster move today, which was interesting. They claimed defensive end Corey LeMonnier off waivers from Cleveland. And he's probably going to play Sunday because the team released cornerback Adarius Barnes. Now, remember in the preseason, this no-name Adarius Barnes made the Lions team as the fourth cornerback. And people were like, who's that? And Barnes makes the team now after signing Asa Jackson 2 weeks ago, and he played Sunday. It appears that the Lions will go into the game against the Giants with maybe more three safety packages with Miles Killebrew. Don Carey will be an emergency fourth cornerback. But with Quandre Diggs out, it'll be Darius Slay, Nevin Lawson, Asa Jackson, and pretty much Don Carey as your four corners. Carey can play, of course, safety. But you got Quinn back there, Killebrew back there, Tavon Wilson, and Raphael Bush. So the Lions make that move today. Defensive end Corey LeMonnier. Probably going to play more than Anthony Zettel now. If they made that move, they must like him and they want him to play. And Adarius Barnes, a little bit of a surprise because he had played pretty well this year and played some nickel for the Lions last weekend in their victory at home over the Bears. Adarius Barnes, gone. Corey LeMonnier, signed. Don't forget, if you love your Pistons, check out Locked on Pistons with my man Dan Feldman right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Dan does a great job. Pistons playing some pretty good basketball. Check it out on the Locked On Podcast Network. It is Locked On Pistons. All right, always a pleasure catching up with this guy, lead sports anchor at the ABC affiliate now in New York at WABC. Sees the Giants each and every day. Detroit's own Ryan Field giving us a couple minutes here. What's up, Rhino?
Good, Deez. Good to hear from you, man. It's been a minute, and always good to hear your voice.
Always good to hear yours too, man. How's New York?
New York is good, dude. It's been a nice transition for me. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I just started in L.A. Not even 3.5 years ago with FS1, and then this opportunity came about. And I wasn't obviously crazy about moving again, and obviously not crazy about leaving that beautiful Southern California sunshine. But at the end of the day, it was just too good of an opportunity to pass up. And I'm finishing up week 8 already at the job, which is kind of crazy. And obviously, this city speaks for itself. It's been a nice change of pace, if you will.
Yeah, but at least the pizza's improved.
No doubt about that. It's tough to get a good pie there in L.A., but out here it is. Every street corner, it seems, has their own pizza place, and There is no shortage of good pie here in New York.
You're already talking like a New Yorker. Listen to you, pie. Listen to you.
Doesn't take long, buddy.
Oh, man. All right, so this is kind of be a weird week for you because no one knows the Lions in New York like you do, and here they are. Crazy to think the Leos are 9-4, and here are the Giants, maybe the quietest 9-4 team out there. What do you see as these two teams will match up this weekend?
Well, I mean, I see a lot of similarities. I see two teams that don't give up a lot of points. I see two teams that have pretty good run defenses. I see two teams that can't run the ball. Two teams with veteran quarterbacks that, for the most part, don't turn the ball over. I mean, Stafford had a couple of bad turnovers last week, and Eli obviously has been prone to a big pick here and there. But, you know, two teams that are playing sound football for the most part, and it's going to be an interesting matchup. It's one of those things where, you know, the Giants are favored, I think, by 4.5. You got to figure a lot of that has to do with Stafford's finger, and, you know, the Giants are favored because they're at home, and I feel the spread would be probably just the same if the Lions were at home. So really a toss-up this weekend, and the elements, I was talking to our weather guy, and the element, it's supposed to rain, but, I mean, the good news is it's not supposed to be all that cold here. Maybe low, upper 40s, low 50s around game time. So, you know, that obviously benefits the Lions since they haven't really played a true cold outdoor game this year. So that's something else to keep in mind. But, you know, if the ball's going to be wet and Stafford's having trouble with his grip as it is with his finger, I mean, that could play an issue. So play a factor, I should say. I mean, there's just a lot of different subplots to this game, and I can't wait for Sunday to get here.
Ryan, what's the viewpoint of Ben McAdoo? Certainly a longtime legendary coach in Tom Coughlin, kind of finally shown the door after the team had regressed the last few years. McAdoo comes in. Early on, it looked like a fourth-grade offense, and his press conferences were a little bit strange, and not many people knew who he was yet. Here they sit at 9-4. Are people embracing him as this young mind, or is the jury still out?
I think the jury's still out for, you know, for a lot of the reasons you just mentioned, but I think it's a little easier to accept Ben McAdoo when the team is 9-4. And, you know, the New York market is as unforgiving as any sports market there is. And, you know, people are already calling here, for example, for Todd Bowles' head. I mean, they won 10 games last year. And people want Bowles out as coach of the Jets. So, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot and McAdoo was 4-9, people would be crying for him to be shown the door. But I think there is some trepidation out here when people look at that record. They're like, okay, well, who have the Giants really beat? You know, they only beat one team with a winning record during their six-game winning streak. They lost to Pittsburgh. They beat Dallas. They've beaten Dallas twice, and that's really kind of what they're hanging their hat on this year because nobody else has really figured out a way to slow down Elliott and Prescott, but these guys have already beaten them twice. So they've got their two marquee wins, but everybody else on their schedule that they beat, you look at it, you're like, you're not overly impressed. So I just think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, Giants fans are still, they're excited about this, but maybe a little bit of an asterisk by that 9-4 record.
Ryan Field with me, WABC in New York, lead sports anchor there, covering the Giants and Lions this weekend. Eli Manning, would you say he's playing well right now, or are they winning in spite of him not having great games?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's him not having great games. I mean, the offense, the funny thing in talking to these guys, I was just talking to Beckham the other day, and they just feel like they keep letting the defense down. Like they just have not found a way outside of the game against the Browns when they put up 27. But one of those came courtesy of a Jason Pierre-Paul interception return for a touchdown. They just haven't found a way to consistently put points on the board. I mean, and basically their MO has been these, like, you know, they count on Beckham to make the one big play to turn the game around. You saw it against Dallas on Sunday night. I mean, he takes a slant 61 yards to the house. And that's really been their MO this season. They just count on him to make that one big play that's going to turn the game around. So, I think the Giants offense is definitely one that's, susceptible to being shut down. And obviously that's good news for the Lions coming into this game this weekend. And, you know, Terrell Austin was just talking about it, in his press conference saying that, you know, Beckham's like a video game. And you just don't know when he's going to take it to the house. And I think if they can find a way to slow him down and limit that big play on Sunday, I think they're going to be all right.
Ryan, certainly a lot of talk about the offense. You mentioned Beckham. And, yes, Terrell Austin even said today, you know, Darius Slay might not be covering him each and every time out. Defensively, though, you could make a case for this Landon Collins. Every time I watch the Giants, he's as good a defensive player in this league as there is, right?
Yeah, and he just has a nose for the football, Deez. I mean, the guy's got he was defensive player of the week like 2 weeks in a row, one defensive player of the month. And the accolades are justified based on what he's done. He's just got a nose for the football. He's come up with some big interceptions in a lot of their games, and their secondary is really good with Jenkins and Cromartie. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, Stafford and company, they're going to have to bring their A game this weekend against that defense. I expect it to be kind of a low scoring, you know, 17-13 kind of game, just because that's the way these two teams are this season. And that's kind of where I'm seeing this thing trending on Sunday.
You know, I've seen some metrics and some people say, you're right, the secondary is really good with Collins and certainly Janoris Jenkins, but if the Lions are going to make hay a little bit, it may be finding some underneath stuff and Theo Riddick out of the backfield if he plays. How are the Giants in terms of middle of the field and covering running backs out of the backfield?
Yeah, I mean, they've done a nice job against the run this season. I mean, like I said, both teams have done that. It's one of those things where, you know, it's going to behoove the Lions to have Riddick in there to have another option, because I agree with you. I think that's going to be their game plan, that the Giants are going to kind of prevent the deep ball. Maybe the middle of the field's going to be open for little swing passes or, you know, dinks and dunks out of the backfield with Riddick, and he's definitely going to add another element. And, you know, looking at that Giants defense, to answer your question, I mean, their front four is so good, they can get to the quarterback. I mean, if there is a weakness, it's probably in that linebacker area. So that's something that they definitely need to exploit, being Detroit, if they want to come away with this win.
Ryan Field with me from New York. All right, if it's a kicking game situation, I think the Lions have the edge. What do you think? And tell us about what the Giants are doing there.
Yeah, I think if it comes down to a kick, I mean, I think you got to count on Prater to get the job done. I mean, it's looking at that, Deez, I mean, it's just crazy to me that Denver got rid of that guy, you know, and the fact that the Lions were able to pick him up for nothing. And he's turned into, I mean, he already was a good kicker in Denver. And I know he had a couple of, you know, I think he had one bad season, missed a few kicks and kind of fell out of favor. But, I mean, it's been just the opposite in Detroit. And you talk about a blessing that they were able to pick up a guy like that, you know, after the whole Jason Hansen era where he was so good. And then they kind of had some inconsistencies after that. But, you know, Prater's been everything they could hope for and more. And I think if you're the Lions and you're hoping this game comes down to a game-winning field goal, you got to like your chance.
It's interesting. You just mentioned earlier, the Giants sweep Dallas, and you know the Cowboys are still going to win the division and everything else, but what's the talk in New York? What do the fans say about the Giants' chances to go far? Are people thinking, hey, we've beaten Dallas twice, we can do this?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where there's a lot of similarities to the two Super Bowl teams. I mean, we just saw the last one in 2011 where they basically won it with defense and an offense that did just enough to win. And I think Giants fans are cautiously optimistic of thinking along those same lines. But at the same time, the funny part about it is they could miss the playoffs altogether, you know? I mean, they got a tough Detroit team on Sunday. They have to go at Philly next week and see what you will about the Eagles, but it's a division game, and Philly always plays them tough on the road. And then they have to go at Washington to close out the season. And Washington already beat them at the Meadowlands. So I don't think there's one gimme game on this schedule for them, and I think that's why Giants fans, as excited as they are about the possibility of them going to the Super Bowl, they also know it's very realistic that they could miss the playoffs altogether. So it's kind of an interesting back and forth here in terms of their thought process.
It's crazy, and it's got to be weird for you because, you know, the old SOL, same old Lions moniker, it's kind of going away with each week, and it would go away again this week if somehow a banged up quarterback goes into a rainy Meadowlands and windy and everything else and wins this game. But this team just somehow finds a way to win. It's kind of crazy to watch from afar for you, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's even, I was talking, we were on the set last night, and I was talking with our anchor spot because they were asking me if I was going to the game. And I said, yeah, I'm going to the game. And they're like, well, you know, you can't root for the Lions. Well, I'm like, I will root internally for the Lions because they've been my squad since I was 8 years old. Obviously, I can't wear any Detroit paraphernalia to the game or anything like that. I'll dress neutral, but you know, you go open for a good game, but I can't be up and being all rambunctious and and cheering for the Lions in an environment like that, where I'm trying to, you know, get acclimated to New York and get in with the New York fans, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's one of those things where you talk about the trepidation with the Giants fans. I mean, there's always trepidation with the Lions fans. You're always waiting for the other shoe to fall, so to speak. And they just, you know, they keep finding ways to prove us wrong. I mean, I agree with Caldwell. He's like, the way they keep doing this, the way we keep doing this, it can't be luck if we've done it now 8 times coming back in the fourth quarter. And I agree with them. They just keep finding ways to win when it doesn't look like they're going to. And you, as a Lions fan, you're kind of wondering, like, is this too good to be true? When is this luck going to run out? But at the same time, you're like, well, they just keep getting it done. So maybe this is a weird year where, you know, they make it to the playoffs. I mean, they haven't hosted a playoff game since 93, which is crazy. So if they can find a way to get a home playoff game and finally get off the schneid and win a postseason game, I mean, you know, we already had the Cubs win the World Series this year. Donald Trump became president. Who knows what's possible in this wacky world of 2016 that we're living in.
Final thing, I said yesterday on the podcast, I think Theo Riddick is the most important guy this weekend, not named Stafford, because if Matthew's got a check down, he makes plays on every down. I think for the Giants, it's Eric Flowers. Anytime I watch a Giants game, they're 2 seconds away from pulling him at left tackle because he doesn't block anybody. This might be the week you line Ziggy Ansah up against him. He goes around him a few times.
Yeah, and they've already been talking about moving him along the line, like not the Giants, but the reporters and whatnot who cover this team are practically begging for him to be reassigned somewhere on the line or be put on the bench. And that's really, we haven't talked much about the Giants offense in terms of like what their Achilles heel is. I mean, the offensive line is definitely susceptible. And I think that's why Eli, you know, hasn't been able to put up big numbers this season. He's been under duress a lot. So if the Lions can find a way to put some pressure on him, I agree. That's Eric Flowers, that matchup with Ansah, is going to be something to keep an eye on Sunday. And the Lions, yeah, I mean, they need to have Riddick healthy and being able to help move the ball. But I don't know, man. I mean, if you held a gun to my head right now and said, what's your prediction? Boy, my heart says the way the Lions have been playing that, you know, that they can go in there and get this thing done. But, you know, because they've been playing so well, they might be due for a little bit of a letdown. It's a big game for the Giants, too. So I guess I'm going to call it 20-17, the Giants.
I'm kind of with you on that. I mean, both teams have won, what, 8 of 9? It's crazy to think. Giants at home, I don't love the conditions, like you said. But if it does come down to a kick and or the kicking game, the Lions certainly have that advantage. Ryan,
not about it, man.
Yeah, great catching up, my brother. You're the best.
Thanks, Steve. Back at you, buddy.
Always love catching up with Ryan Field. Thank you very much, sir, from WABC in New York, right here on Locked On Lions. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it, but I have to do it. I'm picking against the Lions this week. I think the Giants have played very well at home. I don't think they're a great team at all, but 6-1 at home this year. If the Lions can't get to Eli Manning, the pass rush just hasn't been there, and Stafford's finger, and possibly no Theo Riddick in the rain in New York, I don't think it's going to be a pretty game. I think the Lions will be right there and right in it. But I'm picking the Giants to win 19-16 on Sunday. I just think it's going to be one of those slobber knocker type games, and this will be one of the best secondaries that Stafford has seen. I think the Lions come up short on Sunday in New York. Watch out for Will Tye, T-Y-E, the tight end. With Larry Donnell really not a factor right now for the Giants, a guy that was a pretty good tight end last year. Look out for Will Tye to be a guy that the Lions have to contend with. And look, hopefully Eric Ebron steps up going back home. Eric Ebron has stated this week, hey, I've been texting with OBJ and this and that, and hey, it'd be great if he can play and be a factor. But you know, the Lions have had issues with the tight end, and I think Will Tye could play a factor Sunday when the Lions take on the G-Men coming up this weekend. Hope I'm wrong. Definitely hope I'm wrong. All right, but look out for Will Tye, Larry Donnell, who's been sick. Maybe the old tight end bug bites the Lions again. But I think Detroit's going to be in this game. But this notion that the Lions, and I promise you this, and let me get to this very quickly because I almost forgot. This notion that the Lions are in big trouble, the CBSSports.com story from John Breach, CBSSports.com, where he picks the Packers to win the division, saying they're going to run the table and win the rest of their games, and Green Bay is going to go 10-6. NFC North champions. He says the Lions just missed. Quote, it hurts us to leave the plucky Lions out of the playoffs, but the fact of the matter is they're going to be an underdog in each of their final three games this season. That means they're going to have to pull off at least one upset to get to 10 wins. This week in New York feels like their best chance for that win. It's not looking promising, though. The Lions are 0-2 in outdoor games this year, and they'll be outside Sunday. As for their other two games, they haven't won in Dallas since 2010, and they've lost three of their past four to the Packers. If the Lions do get to 10-6, they currently have a commanding edge in tiebreakers with almost every team and will likely get a wild card berth at the worst. Bottom line here, being a Lions fan is terrifying. This is from, again, John Breach at CBSSports.com. Now, he says that the Lions' toughest games, or he notes that they've lost three of the last four to the Packers. They outplayed the Packers last year, beat them at Lambeau, and should have beaten them at Ford Field, only to lose on a Hail Mary. Earlier this year, they did get blitzed early, only to lose by seven. They're a better team since then. I think the easiest game they have left is not this Giants game. It's the Green Bay game in Week 17. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is on, and he seems to be looking good. Has anybody seen Green Bay's defense? I understand they've been better lately. They can be had. The Lions. So if the Lions win, if the Lions lose Sunday and lose next week to Dallas, and Green Bay's been hot, the Packers really going to be favored over the Lions at home? I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. And I know Green Bay's running the table lately. They've won three in a row, and Rodgers said we can win our last six games. I don't know, this whole notion that the Lions are going to be some heavy underdog to the Packers in Week 17, I don't see it. The Lions are going to be at home. To say, well, they've lost three of their last four to Green Bay, well, last year they should have swept them. It was a Hail Mary miracle that got Green Bay that win. All right, that wraps it up for Locked On Lions, Locked On Podcast Network for this week. Again, I'm picking the Giants to win 19-16. Thanks to Ryan Field from WABC. We'll talk to you after the game on Sunday.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.